I'd have to talk to the fellas in the tape room every now and then. They got the controls at their hand. Sometimes we have a little trouble getting on the same button. Amen. Daniel chapter 7. We're having a little hard time getting out of chapter 7 here in Sunday school. But let me say this. Let me encourage you. I talked to the college class last Thursday. We missed several because of the holidays. So as slow as I'm going in Sunday school, we're still ahead of where I'm at in college. I tried to jump them ahead, but they caught me and they wouldn't let me. So anyway, chapter 7, the book of Daniel. Daniel's a prophetical book. It goes hand in glove with the book of Revelation. In fact, the book of Revelation clarifies, takes off somewhat where Daniel leaves off. And of course, Daniel is attacked by the skeptics because he wrote history in advance. No other book can do that, only the Bible. We call it prophecy. God can tell you what happens tomorrow. Nobody else can, and his book is the only one that does it. Now, there's a lot of religious books in the world, but you will find out prophecy put to the test with them shows them to be wrong. Many of them make no effort. Might shock you, but the Quran makes no effort to tell you about what's coming, no prophecy. You say, but the Muslims talk about that. Yeah, but they get it from their commentaries and added ideas. They don't actually get it from the Quran. And the Bible stands head and shoulders above everything else because it predicts, and then we've been living long enough, folks, history's moved on to where we can look back and see the fulfillment of what was predicted hundreds of years, some cases thousands of years, before it happened, it was told about, and then it happened. For instance, in the life of Jesus Christ alone, when he showed up, God in the flesh, and he was fulfilling at least 300 prophecies made that he would come and do it. So when you understand that, you're understanding it's a supernatural book. It's something from God. It's not something from man. Oh, yes, God used man to write it, but he controlled what he was writing. The thoughts, the words were God's. I can take this pen out of my pocket right here, and I can write words. You know what? Men were used like a pen in the hand of God to write his words in a book. And you've all at the Christmas story that you've heard at Christmas time about the man trying to shoo the birds in the garage to keep them from freezing, and they were afraid of him. And the thought hit him, if I could become a bird, I could tell them I want to help them. you heard that, hadn't you? At Christmas time, it's a great, great analogy. But the truth is, that's what God did with us. He became man. And that's what the Christmas story really is, God incarnate in the flesh. And so God not only gave us Jesus in the flesh, he's given us his recorded word. And we understand it's his word by it proving itself. And prophecy is the big thing that proves it. So in chapter 7, we've changed gear now. We've moved from the historical to the prophetical. And as we go through it, we recognize that different men will put different interpretations on the scripture. We'll find out in heaven who was right and who was wrong. Truth is, most, if they believe the Bible, if they're Bible believers, they're not far off. They're not separated very far in their interpretations. We'll find out a little more. And of course, we can judge some of it now, like I said a while ago, by history to see that it did come true as God had predicted. Now, the skeptics hate that. I caught a program the other night. I was flipping through. How many of you try to dodge the commercials? Do you do that? Oh, don't we all? But they're wise to it. Have you ever noticed it don't matter? They get you. Flip over, they get you again, you know. So I'll flip over between Fox News and CNN or some of the other garbage channels. But anyway, I'll flip back and forth and I'll catch the commercial again. But that's what I was doing. And I flipped over there and I saw something about the book of Daniel. So I stopped there for a little bit. I was pretty sure what I'd hear. And sure enough, they had the skeptics trying to attack the book of Daniel that it could not have been written when it was said. I've noticed this, though. They made an adjustment. I watched a little bit of it before I felt my blood pressure rising and went on. But anyway, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Anyway, Anyway, they were saying this, and they've made an adjustment. For so long, they said the book of Daniel had to be written over into A.D., after Christ. But in that particular program, they shifted it back to about 167 B.C. But the truth is, it was written 500-600 years before that. And why they cut a little slack there, but they're still trying to get the Roman Empire in place, the last of the four kingdoms that Daniel had predicted. They're trying to get it in place and have him look back from there and write about the other three. But no, that's not what he did. He wrote about them from the beginning right on through into the Roman Empire. And of course, the best authority on it is Jesus himself. In Matthew 24, he quoted from the book of Daniel. Spoke of Daniel as a real live prophet. The book of Daniel had already been written because he's referring to what Daniel wrote. So all of this, for Bible believers today, is clear no matter how they attack it. And there are some big attacks out there. You got to watch it, folks. They're clever. They're real clever with this thing. But if you know your Bible, you can stand your ground. Amen. And it'll make it clear to you. Here in chapter 7, Daniel has moved again. In chapter 2, he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Started with the image that he dreamed about, the dream he couldn't recall. His wise men and all could not help him, but they called in Daniel. And Daniel interpreted the dream. And it started with the image that the king had seen that night in his dream. It started with the head of gold, which was Nebuchadnezzar himself, the image of the soldier or the stature that stood there, from the head of gold to the breast and arms of silver, the next kingdom that would replace the kingdom of gold, and the next kingdom, which was brass, would replace the kingdom of silver. That was the waist and thighs of the image, and then finally the legs of iron, which represented Rome. And in history, if you read anything, Rome is called the Iron Kingdom. And you see how one moved right into another. But it wound up with the feet of the statue being clay and iron, which do not stick very long together, do not mix. That's where we're living at now. No one world kingdom today, really. Some think America is, but it's not. And Russia isn't. Some of vying man leaders have always, from think about Hitler. He wanted to put in the Third Reich. The Third Reich, the word Reich there was talking about the third millennia. He wanted to bring in 1,000 years of golden rule, perfection under him. Can you believe that? And kill the 6 million Jews and other millions also. That's history. I tell you what hurts, though, and what is shocking to me, and I'm deviating some here. I see on TV, Fox is pretty good about having that guy go out with his microphone, interview folks on the street. The dumbness of college students that's using our tax money to go to college free. I heard him literally ask one, not too long ago, who was the first president of America? And they didn't know. He asked some who attacked us, America, at Pearl Harbor. One said, well, was it Korea? Another said something like that. Anyway, they didn't even get it. Now, I've said it before, I keep saying it. When men forget their history, they're doomed to repeat their history again. And the sad truth is, we have forgot it. And in the classrooms, I tell you what I'd like to see him do. I'd like to see him walk into, they won't let him. I'd like to see him walk into a public classroom and ask the teachers those same questions. Because those kids are not getting anything when they grow up and get in college and still can't answer basics. Like that. That's ridiculous. And while, thank God, it's not everybody, it's too many. And it's in the big places. It's in the big cities, more so than smaller places. I understand all that. But I'm saying that's why today morals are gone, the culture's gone, because they have no foundation to anchor it to. They don't know about our beginning. Our beginning had to do with a bunch of people coming to America wanting to serve God. They didn't come to get gold. They come to be free to worship God. And we were built on that foundation, on up through the years. Yeah, we were human and had all kind of problems and made a lot of mistakes. But, brother, nothing to compare with what we've arrived at today. And as we think about what Daniel has predicted, he's predicted the history of the world, winding up with the feet, mixed with iron and clay. They don't stick together. No world kingdom. Look at your map of the United States. We are separate states, supposed to be united into one. But you think about the clay and the iron on the feet. You think about the nations of the world. You look over with all the trouble in the Middle East and all of that terrible stuff going on. But you've got all kind of what we'd call countries or states or nations, and they're not one kingdom under one. I'll say this. There's some awful dictatorships over there. Gaddafi got replaced. Saddam Hussein got replaced. But I also have to say this, it's gotten worse since they have been. Right. Isn't that amazing? When Jesus comes back, the Bible says he's going to have to rule the world with a rod of iron. That means he came the first time in love and compassion. When he comes back in judgment and glory, he's going to have to use the rod. That's human nature. That's human nature. Now, until human nature's changed, it'll be wars on top of wars, just like the Bible says. Some jokester has said, wars and wars will keep coming. In case of rain, we'll hold them in the stadium. Now, he's comparing it to the fact of ball games. Just keep being played, and you find somewhere to fight the next war, somewhere to get it on. And somebody has done a study of history, and they have the stats saying that in 200 years of man's written history, that there's only been like 10 or 15 years that a war was not going on somewhere on planet Earth. That's amazing. Say, what is that a commentary on us? Even us sitting in this room, we have our good days and bad ones. We have our good nature and bad nature. Brother Jack was singing about a change takes place when you receive the Lord Jesus. You become a new creature in him. Even then, you got to fight the flesh, right, or it'll embarrass your Christianity. Right. Next thing you know, you'd be, I wish I hadn't have done that, and the Holy Spirit grieving your heart. Or you let the old man get back on the wheel again. He stumped on the gas and spun the wheels again. You didn't think he was ever going to let him back on the wheel, but he got back under there. Amen? Right. You understand that? Well, it happens. Say, it don't happen to me. I don't believe you. Just don't believe you. I believe it can happen to any of us as long as we're in the body and in the flesh. We got to keep control, let the spiritual man control the natural man, or we'll get in trouble every time. All right, back to Daniel. Daniel looks on past the time of the 10 toes and the iron and clay mixed. And in chapter 7, we have the identity again of coming up with 10 horns, which come out of that fourth kingdom. Now, the fourth kingdom was wrong. Now, the standard interpretation, I have mixed emotions about a little bit, but out of the 10 horns, it comes out of the last kingdom, which we could easily relate to the 10 toes on the image, the 10 horns. And we find that in verse 8 of chapter 7. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now, it's this little horn that we get real interested in the book of Daniel, because this is the Antichrist. And he is described better in the book of Daniel. On that program I told you about where they were cutting down on the prophecy of Daniel, that was one of the things they were attacking. They were saying it's caused people to believe in an Antichrist. Well, you got that right. We do. And we got the best description of him in the book of Daniel you're going to find anywhere. And I've covered that a little bit before. But a little horn comes up. Three horns are replaced by him in verse 8. We talked about that. And he got a mouth speaking great things. I don't know if that just means he can read the teleprompter real good. Could be. Or he has a natural gift as an orator. Could be. The truth is, he'll come on the scene like a smooth-talking politician and fool a lot of people, because for a while he's going to fool the world, and for a while they're going to worship him, read Revelation 13, compliments the book of Daniel, and tells you that they will, and that he'll be in charge for a while. Now, we'll find out in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation that his main time of reigning will be 3.5 years. Now, the first 3.5 years of what we Christians call the tribulation period is given to the Jews, not to the church. Now, be sure you keep that right. It's Daniel's 70th week. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, talks about it being the day of Jacob's trouble. Jacob, synonym for Israel. So, 7-year tribulation period. But the Antichrist in the first 3.5 of that years will be spreading his peace talk. He'll be flattering. He'll be changing things. He'll move his socialistic program. And brother, we're seeing socialism come by leaps and bounds right now. But it'll even be more under his reign. And he'll fool folks. He'll not be revealed until Israel recognizes at the 3.5 year mark, when he sets up his abomination of desolation, Daniel spoke of, Jesus spoke of, that he'll do that in the temple. Paul said he'll declare himself to be God and want to be worshiped like God. Now, don't think that's strange. We've had all kind of religious leaders declare themselves God. Just like the Bible said, there'd be many false Christs come. There'd be many antichrists. And you just think of the different ones. We had one down here in Miami. I couldn't believe it when I watched it on TV. He declared himself Christ. He went out in the streets of somewhere there in the Miami area, and thousands of people come out to follow him and to worship him. That's just a few years ago. Right here in the little state of Florida, down there. And that's happened around the world. It's happened in the European nations. It's happened everywhere. And while folks would not take, any Bible believer shouldn't take that very seriously. But there will finally be one. He will be the man of sin, the Antichrist, all that he's called in the book of Daniel and in the Bible. And he'll fool a lot of people, and he'll draw a lot of people after him. His programs will be able to be brought in. And yes, he'll be voted in, but his programs will not be voted on. Well, I'm going to take that back a little bit. Do you understand that if the rapture come today, there wouldn't be much opposition to the evil that's going on in this world? You know who is raising a standard against evil today? God's people. Right. And if they were gone, not much restraint left. And that's sad truth, but it is. So he describes the little horn here in chapter 7. Then it says in verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days, capital A, did set. That's the Lord God Jehovah. It's described him. I talked about it last week. He's got the white hair. I told you about the judges in England wearing the white wigs as they sit behind the bench. And pointing out that here's the one, the Lord God Jehovah. He's the final judge. Amen. Amen. And then you get down to verse 11. I'm reviewing now chapter 7. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast, now Revelation calls him the beast, was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now you can find that in Revelation chapter 19. So book of Daniel, book of Revelation complements each other. And concerning the rest of the beast in verse 12, rest of the nations, rest of the leadership, he talks about them. And while their lives were prolonged, verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. You know, we need to understand, here's a picture of Jesus. He came in an humble, lowly state. He died for our sins. But when he comes back to take a kingdom. He's no longer going to be the lowly, meek Jesus, the Lamb of God that died for our sins. He's going to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah that rules. And the Bible is very clear on that. And here he comes before, as it were, God the Father, the Lord God Jehovah. It says in verse 14, there was given him a dominion and glory and a kingdom that all the people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That'll be the final kingdom on earth. When Hitler thought he was going to have the third ride or the third reign or the third millennial, he was so dead wrong. That's an honor for Jesus to have. That's his kingdom that's going to be set up. It's going to be set up under him. And by the way, if you want to make a study of a prototype, most of you understand what that means. How many of you have ever seen on the TV or maybe in person a prototype of a car? I like to look at those. But anyway, that's not they're not going to put it in production. It's not going to be the real thing that you could go buy. It's a prototype. And Hitler, in a sense, was a prototype of the Antichrist. He did so many things that the Antichrist will do. Had I been preaching back in the 40s, I might have identified Hitler as the Antichrist. I don't fault any preacher that did, because he just compares what the Bible says about him. I have a theory, and this is mine. This is 1 Nikki, 2nd chapter now. I have a theory. My theory is this, that the devil does not know when Jesus is coming for the church, for the saved. Amen. He knows it's going to be soon. He knows it's going to spell his doom. He knows he's a defeated foe. In the meantime, he's running a big bluff, and most of us are bluffed by him. But I don't believe he knows when Jesus is coming. The Bible says no man will know. Right. Jesus said he didn't know until the Father revealed it to him. He probably knows now, but he didn't know when he left. But anyway, I've been asking him to come for a long time. I think I'm going to start praying for the Father to tell him to come, because that'd be more scriptural. But anyway, my theory is this. Since Satan does not know, he always has to have a plant on this earth that can become the Antichrist as soon as he has the power to make him so, to fill him. You know, he came into Judas. He had Judas. Judas walked. He was close. He was one of the 12. I mean, if you'd have been around, he probably preached as good, followed the Lord, maybe as close as almost anybody. You wouldn't have known who he was until Satan entered into him. And there's somebody on this earth will be at the time that the devil is going to be able to enter into him. He'll be the man then. Think he's alive today? I've been thinking he's alive for a long time. But I think maybe in every generation there's been one. Maybe Hitler was one that the devil had planned to use, but God didn't let it happen. I deviate again, but folks, especially you that are young enough, you didn't get into it as much. You ought to study something about World War II. If God had not had his hand on America, Hitler would have gone a lot further than he did. I'm saying to you that, do you understand? Somebody wrote a book, Brokaw, I guess, wrote a book, The Great Generation. And he's right. We really owe the veterans of World War II our allegiance and support like probably no other group, because what they did in the time they did it in, think about something. Think about this. We've been fighting over in Iraq and over in the Middle East more than twice as long as we fought in World War II. That's the difference in being serious about what you're doing. Amen. Or it's the differences in the politicians in Washington tying or untying the hands of the soldier boy on the field. That's really the difference. And the sad truth is, though, that what we did had to be blessed of God, or we could not have done it. Amen. To immobilize the army, to build the ammunition and materials, and finally getting the atom bomb before Hitler got it. Right. Now, I got off on that, but I feel strongly if you'd study that, you'd see that. And so God interrupted Hitler. If Hitler was going to be the devil's Antichrist, he got interrupted. How many since then? How many before them? I believe Satan is smart enough to have a man ready. I believe he's got one ready today. You say you think that man knows where he is? No, I doubt it. I'm not sure Judas knew where he was until Satan entered into his heart. So Sometimes we get to thinking, this got to happen, that's got to happen. No, nothing has to happen. The table's been set for a long time. The last actors have been on the stage for a long time, and we're going to see the conclusion. Here we find that the Son of God, Jesus, comes up, gets the everlasting dominion, the kingdom from the Father. And in verse 15, Daniel said, I was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head trouble me. You see, Daniel was just a human being. And he was being hit with stuff here that he had a hard time handling. If you'll go to the very last verse of chapter 7, look at verse 28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations. You know what that is? That's the cogs in your head turning. Much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, I remember a little bit about studying science in school. Most of it I've forgotten, and most of it was better forgotten, because it turned out later not to be too accurate. So if you say, I don't remember much from my science class, you're blessed, especially the evolution part.
Right.
Amen. But they told me in science that the brain was a little bit, see, back then they had these old-fashioned record players with big black disc. Anybody remember? And you set the needle on it, and when it got scratched, remember all that? Well, they explained to me in science when I was a kid that my brain was a lot like that, and things would go around and carve a little line when you learned them in your brain. That's why they would say sometime, he's groovy. Yeah, he's got a lot of grooves. But they'd also do this. He's spinning out of control. That was latest science, I reckon. But Daniel said, it's hurting my head to digest all this, to understand all this. And he's admitting that he don't. And when you get to the end of the book, you'll find out again that he admits that he don't understand, and he wants to understand. And he asks God to help him with it. But God refuses, telling him it's not time. Not time for him to know. And I believe you and I are living later than Daniel. I believe with the written word of God, the book of Revelation written, we have an opportunity now to go further even than Daniel went in understanding the predictions and the prophecies that's going to come. So as we kind of get through with this seventh chapter of Daniel, verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, the other that comes up now, that's the little horn, before whom three fell. You can watch that on the political scene. You can fit it a lot of different ways. Even that horn, it's a horn that had eyes and a mouth. Remember, we read that. And spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellow. So he stands, as it were, head and shoulders of all the other leadership. He's got a big mouth. He speaks great things, and you'll find out if you keep reading the Bible that he blasphemes God with that big mouth. And we're in a day and time when blasphemy is just on every hand, every way, time of deception. But then verse 21 shows you what he's going to do, this little horn. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, you can use the word saints here in general. Could that be the church? Possibly could be. It could also be the tribulation saints, because there's a lot of Jews get saved in the tribulation period under the preaching of the 144,000, what we call evangelists, the Jews that God saves, 12,000 out of every 12 tribe. No, they're not the Watchtower Society. They're not the so-called Jehovah's Witness. Read the book of Revelation, and they're all Jews. 12,000 from 12 tribes, that's 144,000. So don't get mixed up in that. Had a student here years ago, he's a preacher now, in my college, and when he got saved and got him a Bible, that's about the only religious book he had. He just devoured that Bible. He just went through it over and over again. He knew it from cover to cover. He was still in our college, still working an outside job, and the so-called Jehovah's Witness knocked on his door one day and began to try to tell him about the kingdom coming and so forth, like they do, and how you had to be one of the 144,000, you know, to live again and be in the kingdom. They had to change that because the enrollment got bigger than 144,000, but anyway, he was sharp. He said, are you a Jew? And the guy at the door said, yeah, I'm a Jew. He said, well, which tribe are you from? 12 tribes of Israel, which tribe are you from? The fellow said, I'm from the tribe of Dan. Braxton opened his Bible, showed him where Dan is missing in the kingdom age. You read it, check it out. When you read the book of Revelation, Dan got in trouble with God and got replaced. A guy lied when he picked the tribe of Dan. He wasn't a Jew to start with. But God let him put his foot in his mouth when he claimed to be of Dan, the one tribe out of the 12 that was missing in the book of Revelation. It pays to know your Bible. Amen. When you know what it says, you won't have a bit of trouble with some of that falsehood that comes by. Anyway, we have here the saints in trouble with the Antichrist. The kingdom's being explained. You got the fourth kingdom in verse 23. And then you got the little horn that speaks great words against the Most High, verse 25. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times. Now watch out for this. Change times and laws, and they shall be given under his hand until, count it with me now, a time, that's one, and times, that's two, one and two is three, and the dividing of time is one half. So 3.5 years, the Antichrist here is going to seem to have his way, going to seem to be able to boss and have the world worship him. But there's a big word right here in verse 26. It's the word but. Cross the street. The game's not over. There's a few innings to go. And so it says here, but the judgment shall set, and they shall take away his, that's the Antichrist's dominion, to consume and destroy it unto the end, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom of the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. That's the millennial reign of Christ, reigning from the throne in Jerusalem, predicted many places in the Bible. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, Daniel dated this thing in the first year of Belshazzar, back at the beginning of chapter 7. Belshazzar was already gone before Daniel wrote this. We'd already seen him get in trouble with God, lose his kingdom. Daniel finally puts this thing to print, and it's preserved for you and I to have today. And folks, we'll start on chapter 8. I know I reviewed chapter 7 a couple of times, and just hit some high places in it. But up till this minute, except for the little horn showing up, there is nothing else got to be fulfilled in the Bible to the day and time that you and I live in. If you're thinking about 10 years from now, I'm going to get right with God, I'd say 10 minutes from now is better. Because you just don't know when the Lord Jesus is coming. Amen. All right, time's up. We'll let the choir go out.